last evening. We're so thankful for the number we have present here tonight. We have some here for the first time this week, and we're glad to have you, and glad to have all of you been here in every service so far, and I always enjoy coming here. I've been coming here on and off many, many years, down through the years, many congregations around this area. And I look forward every time to be here in other congregations. I love all of you. I think all of you love me, and we've got to love each other to go to heaven. We cannot have things against one another and treat each other unfairly. If we go to heaven, it's because we study the Bible, we believe the Bible, and we obey the Bible just exactly as it reads, adding nothing to or taking nothing from Revelation 22, 18 and 19. We are told there that if we add to it, we add the plagues written in this book, we take away, we take apart out of the book of life, out of the holy city, the things written in this book. So that's crucial. If we don't do that, we don't add to or take from God's word. Let us realize the Bible is a perfect book, James 1:25, which is within the perfect law of liberty. And continue, if our enemy not a forgetful year, but to do the work also, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Let us study the Bible, let us believe the Bible, let us obey the Bible. One day the Bible will judge us in that last and final day through the judge of all the earth, Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and Him crucified. Appreciate the wonderful song service tonight. Appreciate the wonderful prayer tonight. And so glad that we can come together to worship God, we trust, in spirit and in truth. John 4:24, God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must, that's an imperative word, we always try to say that, must worship Him in spirit and truth. No ifs or ands about it. It's got to be exactly and precisely as His word teaches, and that's clear and crystal through the Bible if we study and ponder and have the right frame of mind and attitude. As I always say so many times, it's your attitude, not your aptitude or IQ, that determines your altitude. And so let's study the Bible. Let's have a good attitude, and there's no telling what altitude we can reach. We can soar like an eagle if we have a good attitude. If we have a bad attitude, it's like a flat tire. When you change it, you're not going anyplace. And that's exactly the way it is. So it's attitude is so important in everything. You might be right in everything you're saying, but your attitude might be wrong. You're not convinced anybody of anything with a bad attitude. And so let's put that attitude with our aptitude, and then we're working automatically on the altitude. So open your Bibles and study along with us tonight on a subject entitled, If I Just Had 1 Year to Live. Or we could change that and say, If I Just Had 1 Hour to Live. Or just a minute to live, or a few minutes to live. Or 6 months to live. During the 58 years I've been trying my weak way to preach the gospel, I've been in hospitals and nursing homes visiting sick folks. Now, a lot of people in the hospital, when they had a terminal illness, they found out that it was terminal when they went in to have surgery to eat up with cancer, they just sew them back up and say, well, they have approximately so many days to live, which we don't know. But you see those sad faces when they're told that something is terribly wrong. Now, on the same plane, if they come out and say everything's going to be all right, it looks good, then our smile returns. You can see the joy in our eyes, in our face, in our personality, showing the positive things of life. But if we're told, well, you don't have long to live. You've got cancer, lung cancer, colon cancer, different kinds of cancer. Many things take us away from this life. And each and every day that we live, we ought to thank God we're still alive on this side of the grave, eternity one more time. And redeem the time, as the Bible says, because the days are evil. Matthew 16:26, what is a man profited, as a song said a while ago, if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? What a question. 1 Timothy 6:7, from the pen of the Apostle Paul, we brought nothing into this world. Zero. And it is certain we can carry nothing out. Now, the way I count that is double zero. Nothing in, nothing out. Right? So let us realize we brought nothing in here, taking nothing out with us. And so the time we live here upon this earth, let's be busy serving God in sincerity and in truth. Let's be as close to right on everything the Bible says as we possibly can be. Let us study and meditate and ponder, as we said here Sunday morning. We need to gain knowledge to study the Bible, know what the Bible says, and rightly divide and handle right the word of truth. 2 Timothy 2:15, study. That's a command of God. I'll optional like white walls hard on a new car. It's a command of God. If you don't study, you cannot be approved of God. No way to be approved of God without studying the Bible. Study to show thyself approved unto God. That's the purpose, the reason for studying. Show yourself approved unto God. A workman, and if you're busy doing that, you're working the Lord's vineyard. A workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. When you rightly divide the word of truth, you handle aright the word of truth. You take all scriptures in context and you put them together and explain what the Bible's talking about. You never put one scripture against another scripture. The Bible never does that. And so it's important to rightly divide or handle aright the word of truth. When you don't understand what a word means, stop. It's like a stop sign in the middle of the road. You pull up that stop sign, it means stop and proceed with caution, care, and observation and carefulness. And so that means you're always cautious about doing the right thing, being cautious, thinking about your fellow man and so forth. And so you need to be cautious as you study the Bible and make sure you make the proper application. Don't put something under one age of time that belongs under another. Right to dividing the word of truth. And so God's word is that standard. In Romans 1, 16 and 17, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Surely we're not, are we? For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believeth, to the Jew first and also the Greek. For therein, that's in the gospel of course, is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. And as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Romans 10, 17 says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Hebrews 11, 6, for without faith it is impossible to please him. For all that cometh to God, God must, there's that word again, must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. What does it mean to diligently seek God? It means to seek him with all your heart, with all your soul, and all your mind, doesn't it? Matthew 22:37 and verse 38. We are to seek God with the very depths of God's will, with the depths of our heart and soul. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God. Now notice how much? With all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. And only God knows the distinction between all three of those words, your heart and your soul and your mind. Hebrews 4:12, the word of God is quick. It means it's living, dynamic, and powerful. And powerful and sharper, it penetrates. And any two-edged sword, it cuts on both sides, going to them. God is the both soul and spirit and the discernment of the thoughts and intents of your heart. He reads you inside out and outside in, upside down and right side up, whatever position you're in, he reads you all the way. He's got it all covered. He doesn't miss a cue, does he? God is all powerful. That's why we're to study and know about his word to the very best of our ability. And then no matter what, when we leave this life and leave this world, no matter what takes us out of here, cancer, or COVID, the COVID problem, or whatever it might be, heart attack, a stroke, we'll be ready to leave. I'm always saying this, and I want to say it again because it's true. Get ready in the here and now, and you'll be ready to fire in the van, won't you? That can't go wrong if you just get ready and know what the Bible says and follow what the Bible says and live your life in such a perspective that it pleases God Almighty. In Job 14, verses 1 and 2, man that is born to woman is a few days and full of trouble. He cometh forth like a flower and is cut down. He fleeth also as a shadow and continueth not. In other words, we're just shared all of a sudden. We disappear. We're gone. It's like that. You know, you can be talking to people in the hospital a few moments, and you leave and go home after you have a prayer, hopefully, before you leave. And then by the time you get home, you got a telephone call. They just passed away not long after you left. Think of that. we can wake up in the morning and have our cup of coffee. Or we can sit down in the evening and have our evening meal. We call supper many times. And we never know. We want to leave this life and leave this world. We might sit down in a reclining chair and never wake up until Jesus raises us from the dead, you see, the last day. Think of that. We never know. We may tie our shoes this morning, but the funeral director may untie them tonight. You see? That's the way it is. 1 year to live, 6 months to live, 3 months to live, a day to live, an hour, a minute, a second. No matter what we calculate, the way we live and the way we die is the way we'll meet our Lord in judgment. John 12:48, Jesus said, "You rejected me, received not my word, have one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day." So we know the judgment's going to be in the last day, isn't it? It's not being already, as some teach falsely. It's going to be in the last day. Jesus will be the judge. John 5:22, "For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment to" who? His Son. Not Martin Luther. Or not anybody else. Not any religious person. It's all about Jesus Christ. The one that died for us on the cross. The one was buried. The one that was arose. Arose from the dead the third day. According to the scriptures. Let's look now to James chapter 4 verses 13 and 14 in your Bible. Just turn and read right along with me. James 4:13-4. Let's just read through verse 17. "Go to now, ye that say this day or tomorrow, we will go into the city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. What is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time or a little while and then vanisheth away." You see, our life is like a vapor. It's just here, and all of a sudden, it disappears. It's gone. Here for a little time, and then vanisheth away. Swish, it's gone. Verse 15, "For that ye ought to say, if it be the Lord's will, we shall live and do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boastings," and we do, you know. "All such rejoicing is evil." Don't be boastful. "Therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is" what? Sin, sin. Every time you say the word sin, Brother Abercrombie, you sound the hiss of a serpent, don't you? Sin. Sin. Not the hiss of a serpent, the devil. 1 John 3:4, "Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is a transgression of the law." So if you know to do good and don't do it, it's sin. You're rebelling against God. And so the Bible teaches us to be busy doing God's word and God's will, living in such a way that if we are snatched away immediately or long term over time, we'll be ready to meet the Lord no matter what the situation might be. Hebrews 9:27-28, let's notice. Most of us are familiar with Hebrews 9:27, "The appointed a man wants to die and after this judgment." And notice what verse 28 says. "So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many." That's when he came to Calvary and suffered and bled and died and buried in the road. "And unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation." He came the first time to die for the sins of the world. He's coming the second time to judge the world in righteousness by that man. That's Jesus who has died, then buried, and arose again the third day according to Scripture. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 4 tells about it. It's a marvelous chapter, a marvelous book. In Isaiah 38:1-5, let's notice what the Bible said. We're talking about death and 1 year to live and for how long ever it might be. Let's notice a man that was told he's going to die right away. Let's notice Isaiah 38:1-5. We refer to Isaiah sometimes as the Messianic prophet. Well, why? Because he prophesied so much of the Messiah. You know, and we studied on our first night, on Sunday night, Man of Sorrow, you know, Isaiah 53, it tells all about that. And that's one of the most touching sermons, I believe, the most touching sermon I've ever preached in 58 years of preaching the gospel in my weak way. Isaiah 53, rather. But now Isaiah 38 is Isaiah, the Messianic prophet. In those days was Hezekiah, he was king, of course. He was sick unto death. He's the point of death. And Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos, came unto him and said to him, Thus saith the Lord, set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. Now when God says you're going to die, you're going to die. You're going to die and not live unless God changes his mind, and he can, and he does. Because he's God. He's got that prerogative. He's got that right. Because he's perfect. He's flawless. He's in charge. And the sooner we recognize that, the sooner we'll humble ourselves before God and obey him to the very best of our ability. So now he says, now you better set your house in order. You get everything taken care of that's out of whack. And whatever multitude of things that might have been, like most of us, need to do all the time, keep our house in order. So set your house in order, you're going to die and not live. Now, what do you think was going through his mind at that moment? If the doctor came out and said, you just have a few days, what would be your reaction? You've got cancer, and the kind you have is not curable. With all of our modern technology and the wisdom of all of our physicians and doctors and specialists, there's nothing we can do. I'm just going to let you know in advance. And it's better the doctor just be up front. I want to be up front with you. My doctor would be up front with me, don't you? Just be up front about it. Yourself. What would be our reaction? We were told we just had approximately so many days to live and wasn't over but God, of course. What would be our reaction? Would we go around just the same old routine we always had, the right attitude? Or would we, what would we think? How would we look at that? We knew we was going to die. He said, well, you're going to die, not live. Immediately, notice the reaction he had. Then Hezekiah turned his face toward the wall and prayed unto the Lord. If there ever was a time to pray, that was it, wasn't it? He turned his face toward the wall. So I said, why did he turn his face toward the wall? He was sick nigh unto death already. Now, when you pray, do you like to be private, or do you like to try to pray and the kids running through the house, or grandkids playing cowboys and Indians? That's the way you want to pray? All that noise going? No. You don't. You want privacy as much as you can get. And the only way he could get it in his condition, he turned his face toward the wall, obviously, to get away from everything so he could concentrate on the most important thing, his life, and talk to God in prayer. We said one man one time, the most humble prayer he ever prayed was, he fell in the well head first. That's a good time, isn't it? It's a good thought. And sometimes, you know, when we lead into prayer, I don't think we realize how much depth, as Brother Bill was talking about, when he used to lead into prayer. Don't realize how much depth ought to be in our prayers. Thinking deeply, graciously about God and his blessings and the joy and the peace and the happiness that we have every day living a faithful Christian life. We know sooner or later something's going to happen to me and to you. It's obvious we're all going to die. But there's a lot of things worse than death. You know, death is not so terrible in a sense, looking at it through the biblical eyes. If we're ready to go and we're in terrible pain, that would be an ease for us, you see. We look at it from a biblical point of view. We don't just think about the physical existence, you see. But Hezekiah had forgotten all about everything but saving his life right then, you see. He was talking to one that could change his mind or go through with what he'd done promised he was going to do. He knew that God could change his mind, and no doubt hoped he would as he prayed. Don't you want an answer to your prayer in a positive way when you pray? You pray in faith, you do. If it be the Lord's will, let it be done. So he turned his face toward the wall and he prayed. And boy, did he pray. And said, remember now, O Lord, I beseech thee. That means I implore thee, I entreat thee, I literally beg of thee. When you study research on this, you'll see that. And I have walked before thee in truth with a perfect, that is complete heart. And I've done that which is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept sore. Imagine the king crying on his bed like a baby in the crib. He broke down and he cried like a baby. Think about it. He had a sincere, earnest, devoted prayer to God. He was getting down to business with it to him, wasn't he? He wasn't praying just a little dry prayer like sometimes we do. or hurry up prayer so we can go do something else. He was praying because his life was on the line. And no doubt that's probably the strongest prayer he ever prayed. Or could pray. Well, it must have been a powerful prayer, Brother Bill, before God, because God changed his mind. Think of it. Won't change his mind. You know what the Bible says? The effectual. Fervent. Effectual. Fervent. Intensified. Prayer of a righteous man. It availeth much, he says. Get all those words. Define those words. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man. Not just any man. God considered him righteous. Obviously, did he not? Even though he had mistakes. That's why you go to God in prayer to correct your mistakes, isn't it? Availeth much. It brings about multitudes of blessings. We read on and see why. That the Bible speaks the way it speaks. What did he say next? Then Hezekiah turned his face toward the wall and he prayed to the Lord. He said, remember my old Lord, beseech thee, I have walked with thee and drew with the perfect heart and have done that which is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept sore. Then came the word of the Lord saying, to Isaiah saying, go and say to Hezekiah, thus saith the Lord God of David thy father, I have heard thy prayer, I have seen thy tears, and behold, I will add to thy days 15 years. What did he say? I have heard thy prayer, and I have seen thy tears. He's cried like a baby in a crib. He poured his heart out to God, and God heard him, and God spared his life. And instead of taking his life, he extended his life 15 more years. How do you think he felt when he told him that? What would be your analysis tonight of how he felt about getting to live 15 more years? Go and say it. Then came the word of the Lord to Isaiah, said, go and say to Hezekiah, thus saith the Lord, that's the word to bark on it, isn't it? The God of David thy father, I have heard thy prayer, I have seen thy tears. Behold, I will add unto thy days 15 years. Prayer changes things, Brother Abercrombie. Our life is in harmony with each week. We pour our soul out to God. He knows we're doing it for all of our heart, soul, and mind. He read his prayer like a book. He knew every word he said. He knew every condition of his heart when he was saying that it was 100% true, or else he would not have recognized that prayer. He would refuse that and let him die, wouldn't he? For God to say you're going to die and not live, and God to change his mind, you think about a powerful thing. You never read about four powerful things that happened. Death, birth, bread, did you sweet? Think about it. Just think about it. Just ponder. Just meditate on it. What would we do if we were in that situation like he was? We probably don't really know until we get there. We're told we're going to die. All our family around the bedside. Short period of time. I even bring hospice in, and all people right now in Mississippi. Sister Myrtle Thorne, now the Temple Hill congregation. She's 96 years old. She's been in hospice now about a month. I call about every day or every other day, see how they're doing, have a prayer with them, and text them when they're not able to reach them otherwise. Just think about a loved one like that. Losing a loved one, or it could be near you. Somebody's mother, father, sister, brother, son or daughter, grandchild, or great grandchild. It's leaving this life every day. Multitudes of people. we need to set our house in order too, don't we? Yes, we do. If we knew we had but one year to live or less, would we obey the gospel? Huh? Did you hear me? Would we obey the gospel if we knew we was leaving here promptly? Would that change our attitude? Would it? Would we want to go along headlong in sin, knowing every day if we die without obeying the gospel, we'd be lost? Doesn't matter if you're young, middle-aged, or old. If you haven't obeyed the gospel, you need to do that. And if you're here tonight and not a Christian, we give that invitation. We urge you to obey the gospel. Words to me. Hebrews 9:27. It is appointed to men once to die. And after this, the judgment. Now think of that. After this, the judgment. After we die, it's the judgment. What if we die and haven't obeyed the gospel? We'll be condemned. We will be condemned. Hebrews 5:8-9. Though he were a son, Jesus, yet learned the obedience by the things which he suffered, and being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation. And notice, unto all them that obey him. Obey him. 6:44, we made the second selection of the church. Trust and obey. When we walk with the Lord in the light of his word, with the glory shed on our way, while we do his good will, he abide with us still. If we only, we trust and obey. Because there's no other way to be happy in Jesus. And that's the equivalent of obeying the gospel, becoming a Christian. Being on the inside, a member of the Lord's church, added to church by the Lord himself, cleansed by his precious blood that he gave upon the cross. Having access to the riches of marvelous and wonderful and amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like you and a wretch like me. We once was lost, but now we're found. We was blind, amen, but now we see. Hallelujah. That ain't a good time to say hallelujah when is it? We're too timid, too bashful sometimes. Not saved. Sometimes I say, you know, if you agree with what I say, brethren, say amen. Because if you don't, I got a couple of them back in my back pocket. I'll pull them out and say them myself. Hallelujah and amens in the Bible lots of times, you know that. We don't hear it too much. Seems like brother too bashful to say amen. If it, let it be so, be so. Say amen. That's the way to do it. I do it a lot when I hear people preaching. And when I'm preaching too. And I'm not ashamed of it. Because it's biblical. It's biblical to say in the proper capacity the Bible teaches us to do. You can be offer eternal salvation to all them of what? Obey. 2 Thessalonians 1:7-9, your trouble rest with us. The Lord Jesus shall reveal from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God. Now watch it, and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. You'll be thankful for their lack of instruction, the praise of the Lord, and your glory. You'll bring vengeance on all those that obey not the gospel. He'll bring forgiveness on all those that do obey the gospel. Is that plain? It's plain. Be understood. Yes. Romans 1:16-17, and I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God to salvation. Everyone who believes is a Jew first, and all of the Greek. But thine is the righteousness of God to live from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Faith in God's word and yielding obedience to God's word is important. Very, very important. Acts 24:24-25. Let's notice what the Bible says. Acts 24:24-25. Turn your Bible while I'm turning right now and just read right along with me from God's word. Acts 24:24. After a certain day, when Phineas came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewish, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ, as he reasoned of righteousness and temperance and judgment to come. Felix trembled and answered, "Go my way, for this time when I have a convenient season, I will call for thee." But what was his real motive? Verse 26. He hoped also that money should have been given him of Paul, that is, he might lose him. Wherefore, that is in view of this, and because of it, he sent for him the oftener and communed with him. You see, his heart wasn't worried about it. Go thy way. That's what people say so much. You know, when you preach a sermon like you preach tonight, you give the invitation, and people don't yield to that gospel invitation, they're in effect doing the very same thing that he did tonight. Not now, not tonight. He sang that song, oh, why not tonight? 6:29. Why not tonight? Well, just Brother MacDonald just come back tomorrow night and preach again. I might do it tomorrow night. And then tomorrow night and next night. No. Behold now is the accepted time. Today is the day of salvation. Not yesterday, not tomorrow, but today, now. 2 Corinthians 6:2. Now is the day of salvation. You know, tomorrow never comes, it's always today. Thank you. We read in the beginning of our study, the life is like a book. It's here and it's disappeared. It is gone. It is no more. Yes. While we're at that text, let's read now in Acts 26:27-29. Acts 26:27-29. King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest. And Agrippa said unto Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. And Paul said, I would to God that not only thou, but also all that hear me this day, were both almost and altogether such as I am, except these bonds. I want you to become a Christian, but I don't wish these bonds upon you that I've had undergo preaching the gospel. That's down the wall in the basket. 40 disciples. Save one. That's Psalm 39. You know why the Psalm 39? Because the Jewish law, they wouldn't allow to give a 39 stripes when they're beating people. And to make sure they obeyed the law, Brother Bell, they stopped on 39 to make sure they didn't go over, to be cautious. Down the wall in the baskets. Talked about all the things he had done, but he said, out of all these things, the Lord delivered me. He had the backbone to preach the truth. He didn't compromise to suit nobody's kinfolk or nothing. And nobody can if you preach the gospel. You ain't fit to preach, you compromise the Bible. And if you get to a big spiritual coward and you can't tell it like it is, and go book, chapter, and verse and lay it on the line, regardless of the consequence of what people think about it, then you ought to sit down and shut up till you repent and get back up then. Preach the word. Against an in season, out of season. Prove, rebuke, and exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. 2 Timothy 4:2 from the pen of the Apostle Paul. Preach the word. Don't preach anything but the word. That's the only thing that has any power. The gospel is God's power. You get out of the gospel, your sermon is powerless. Don't care how much education you got. Graduate from all the colleges around the globe. And still not know anything biblically speaking. Not have the courage to preach the truth. That's what we've got to do, preach the truth. Don't expect everybody to love you, appreciate you, and admire you to preach the truth. Paul said, what? Have I become your enemy because I tell you the truth? Yes, in most cases, you will be. Acts 10:34-35, the truth I perceive or understand or know what it means. That God is no respecter of persons. In every nation, he that feareth God and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. Peter 4:17-18. For the time is come that judgment must begin at the house of God. What's that? That's the church. 1 Timothy 3:15. But I tarry long that I might behave thyself in the house of God, the church of the living God, the pillar and the grounds of the truth. The time is come that judgment must begin at the house of God. 1 Peter 4:17-18. And if it first begin at us, it's going to begin with Christians. The judgment is going to begin with me and you as Christians. Now, want you to get that between your eyes above your ears. And if the righteous scarcely be saved, that's Christians, true Christians, where shall the sinner and the ungodly appear? Man, that's powerful, isn't it? Wow, is that powerful? I mean, more powerful words can never come out of your mouth. Time has come, the judgment must be more. That's the church. And if it first begin at us, what should be the end of them that obey not the gospel of God? Did you get that? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, that means extreme difficulty, only by the love, the mercy, and grace of God, and yielding and trusting and obeying. Where shall a sinner and ungodly appear if that's true about the righteous? If they scarcely. It's going to be a day that most people don't realize. I ain't got a clue how the pastor often is going to leave and already be gone. And we sit here in a comfortable building. We love each other. We love the truth. Say, oh, I love Jesus. Go out the lifeline. Before you get me, I'll follow. I'll be with you all the way. But we won't even read and listen to our Father's mail and obey what he says to do to go to heaven. Now, can we sing, I love Jesus, not obey Jesus? No, not me. If you love me, what? John 14:15. Keep my commandments. John 15:14. Just reverse. You're my friends if you do whatsoever. If, it's a big if. If you do whatsoever I command you. 1 John 1:7. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. That's if we walk in the light. What if we don't? We're walking in darkness, he goes on to say. Can you go to heaven walking in darkness? No. God is light, and him is no darkness at all. There will be no darkness in heaven. God in Christ is light. Perfectly. We sang that song, Beautiful Alto, walking in the light of God. That's a beauty. Got some good singers here can sing it too. I sit right in front of some ladies can sing there. That makes me sing a little bit better bad as I am. Either the harmony that God has given, absolutely beautiful out of this world, so good. Would you obey the gospel? If you just had a short time to live. And the remainder of our lesson is, would you be faithful if you did? If you obey the gospel, would you want to be faithful? Would you want to attend church service here to regularity? Would you want to attend every night at every series of gospel meetings? You could go anywhere you could go. As many congregations there are here in this area, and with the pandemic that's been going on, we've been closed up for so long, up in Tennessee and everywhere, just like you have here. We get an open opportunity to go out to wear a mask and come here like we can tonight without masks. We don't know how long it's going to be before we have to put them on again, maybe. Those that want to, that's everybody's personal choice. But just think. What an opportunity it is when you can come and hear the gospel preached. No matter who's speaking, it's the word of God. The power is not the man, it's the gospel. If we're going to love the truth and love the Lord like we ought to, how many services are we going to miss any word that happened? It don't matter where it's at. Any congregation in this area that had it, there shouldn't be an empty seat in the house. And that's a set out folding church. If people got their heart right with God like we ought to all have, you know, I said we, not you. I'm talking about me first, number one. You number two. Then we see the church begin to grow. The church will be strong. We do. Revelation 2:10, be thou faithful unto death, I'll give you a crown of life. Well, if you just be faithful a little while, we still give you a crown. No, it's not what it says. It says what it means what it says. 2 Peter 1:5-11. And besides this, you mean there's more, Peter? Oh, much more. Giving all diligence, that means seriousness, concern. Add to your faith, that means increase. You mean there's more? Add to your faith what? Virtue, that's the power of a godly life. Proverbs 12:4 says, a virtuous woman's a crown to a man, and she'd make a change of rottenness to bones. virtuous woman means a godly woman. It's a godly woman that dresses godly. She dresses modestly. She's respected, highly respected, in the eyes of God and should be in the eyes of men. She's holy. She's submissive to her husband. Her husband loves her as Christ loved the church. He treats her like a lady and a Christian. You don't try to be a slave driver. You can't do that. If you love your wife as Christ loved the church, you'd be willing to die for your wife. How many of us would be willing to do that? That's what it teaches. The man is not to be one that is just a control freak. That's wrong. He's the head of the wife of Christ and the head of the church. He's the Savior. Christ is the Savior of life. And the woman is for the man, and the man for the woman, and they're to work on their marriage and do the things they should be doing to please God, all that is. It's so important to do this. Right? Faith, virtue, knowledge. Knowledge. More study of the Bible. Temperance, that's self-control. Patience. Godliness. Brotherly kindness, charity. Charity is the greatest. This is my commandment. Jesus said, you love one of those I've loved you. 1 Corinthians 13:13, now by the faith, open charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. The Bible also says charity covers a multitude of sins. Since we all got a multitude of sins, we'll be a whole lot more charity. Right, amen? Charity covers a multitude of sins. We need a whole lot more charity, don't we? No. We do. Not you. We. All of us. More charity. Helping other people. Less fortunate than we. We have abundance. We'll share with other people. And use judgment how we do it, of course. That's all in the picture. So it's important to do that. Temperance. Self-control. Patience. Godliness. Brotherly kindness. Charity. I know some brethren in Ohio that are retired from a regular job, and they started working with Meals on Wheels, feeding older people, hungry people. What in that one of a vocation? That shows a good heart. There's a lot of people that during the pandemic, they set up places where they can feed the hungry. And we all try to, no doubt, in some way or other, to support that, to help people do that, to feed hungry people. And down in Nashville, where I'm at, they have lots of places like that. I help support things like that when I just check it out and make sure it's what it ought to be. But that's a good thing to be doing, you see. And help other people live the faithful Christian life. And that's what it's all about, isn't it? So would you obey the gospel if you just had a short time to live? Would you be faithful, living according to that gospel, knowing you'll be judged by that gospel? God will. If these things be in you and abound, that means you're actually engaged, you're involved in these things, all Christian graces. If these things be in you and abound, they make you, you should be barren, not fruitful in the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind. Not literally blind, but spiritually blind. He cannot see afar off. He has no foresight. He don't look ahead. And he's forgotten. He's had a spiritual memory lapse. That he's been purged, cleansed from his whole sins. Right? He's forgotten. If you don't add these things to his life, they don't abound in his life. If they're not dominant in his life, then he can't please God again, you know. He wouldn't say add something, you know, you can take it or leave it or subtract. No, he didn't say that. Add to give it increase. Grow. The grace and knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The lesson is yours under the great invitation that obey the gospel. You've heard plenty of it tonight. Faith comes by hearing, you're the word of God, Romans 10:17. You hear, you believe, except you believe that I am he, you'll die in your sin, John 8:24. Repent of your sin, Luke 13:3, they I tell you, accept your revenge of all likewise perish, a change of mind, a change of will, which lead you to a change. Sweet confession, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. In a moment, we sang that song. If you're not a Christian, you want to obey the gospel, just take a seat here on the front anyways. It's your way of letting us know, I want to become a Christian. Or if you're already a member of the church, you've got shame or reproach on the church, you come back and recommit your life. I've been living like you ought to be living, living unholy when you ought to be living holy. And without holiness, no man will see the Lord, the Bible says. Come back and rededicate your life. But after you make that sweet confession, then, after repenting your sins, becoming a Christian, you make that sweet confession, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Think of that. The one that died for you on the cross, buried in a rose. And then be buried with your Lord in baptism. Facilities are here. Water is ready. But Mike added some more water into it tonight. We come expecting people to obey the gospel. We preach the gospel. That's what we work for and plead for people to do with Abercrombie. And we want you to just step out on the promises of God. Here's what you know you ought to do. It'd be the biggest move you've ever done. Be buried with your Lord in baptism in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, in the name of the Godhead. Matthew 28:18-20. And raised to walk in newness of life and go on your way rejoicing, just like that eunuch did in Acts 8:35-40. You come up out of that water, you go on your rejoicing too. Because the Bible says, you're all children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For many of you have been baptized into Christ. Have put on Christ. You raised him open into your life. You're baptized into his death. That's where you contact his blood. And you have shown the death, the burden, the resurrection of Jesus. And you raised him open into your life. Are you accepted tonight? Won't you come? Do it now while we stand. While we stand.